Coming to you from the Forge of Freedom studio in the heart of America, a podcast dedicated to preserving freedom and inspiring personal success. Freedom is born and lives through you, the individual, and it dies in the shadows of tyranny. Motivating our listeners to become well-rounded, freedom-minded people with the body of an athlete, the mind of a stoic, and the spirit of a warrior. The Tree of Liberty lives on through you, the Forge of Freedom. And now here's your host, Alex Uli.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Forge of Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Alex Uli, and this is episode 90 of the Forge of Freedom. Today, I've got Mike Uli back in the studio for Monday Gun Day. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me.
So today, we're going to focus on the rules for safe gun handling. And we're going to come at this from a few different perspectives. We're going to talk a little bit about the so-called four universal rules. We'll talk about the NRA's flavor or version of the rules. And then we'll also talk about the program that the NRA has for children, right? Sort of some rules with respect to children in particular. So, Mike, where do you want to start? You want to start with the universal rules, or how do you want to approach
this? Well, let's just mention the fact that there really, you know, there was this desire, Colonel Cooper in particular, Gunsight, people can listen to all of our past episodes about him and his influence on the firearms industry and gun handling and marksmanship and mindset and the whole combat triad. But he had four universal rules from Gunsight. They were...
And I'll post those here on the screen.
Post those there. The NRA has theirs. I like the NRA's in a way. It's three primary rules. But I've got my little card here that talks about always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to fire. And always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. But those, I think, I mean, so that they're not the same, but they are similar. So I think let's just talk about kind of what's in my mind in terms of making sure we cover those together.
Sure. And the part of the motivation, and I talked about this in the last episode 88, not the last episode, but our last Monday, Gun Day episode 88. Part of our motivation behind talking about these rules for safe gun handling is we just had Christmas recently. Yeah. And lots of folks got firearms as gifts or gave firearms as gifts. And we want people to be responsible gun owners. And part of that is internalizing these rules for safe gun handling. Because frankly, if we're responsible with our individual liberties, there will be less ammunition, less target for the gun control advocates and the people who want to take away our rights to take them away. So let's be good advocates for the right to keep and bear arms by exercising our rights and exercising them responsibly. Okay. And that starts with the rules for safe gun handling.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I mean, whether you may have these down and you need, like Alex said, he used the word internalize. These need to become unconsciously competent with respect to these gun handling rules. And I don't mean just being able to spout them off. I mean, it actually manifests itself. You know these, so that the rules manifest themselves every time you handle a firearm without you even thinking about it.
Yeah, it's like Michael Jordan with his hand placement on a basketball. He doesn't have to think about where his hands and fingers are going on the basketball every time he shoots the ball, right? Same with a firearm. You shouldn't have to think about where the gun is pointed, how you're holding it, et cetera, when you pick it up.
I can tell whether somebody is competent and I'm going to be comfortable around them with a firearm almost immediately after I see them handle a firearm. I mean, the first 5 or 10 seconds, you know whether they know what they're doing or not.
And that unconscious competence only comes after lots of practice and lots of visualization. Most people, including everybody, actually has to start at the level of unconscious incompetence. That means they don't even know they don't know, but they have to seek out the knowledge and the skill to develop it. And then, you know, that progresses to conscious incompetence and then conscious competence. That means you're thinking about what you're doing. You know what to do, but you still have to think about it. And then finally, the mastery stage is that level of unconscious competence. It's second nature. You've mastered that knowledge and that skill.
Yeah. And I think that mastery, it doesn't just have to happen on the gun range or, you know, the place where you go to shoot. This mastery needs to also occur. Safety is not just for those training times. This mastery of safety also applies when you may have to use the firearm in a very high stress situation where life and limb is at risk.
Yeah.
And you don't have time to be, you're going to have to process lots of other things tactically and legally. And this, these safety things, because we see people get in trouble with safety things in a, an environment where they discharge a firearm or they discharge it in an area where they shouldn't. But anyway, you have to be safe. I don't care who you are, where you are, whether it's on the range, a police officer, or somebody in the military on a top secret, whatever. These safety rules are incredibly important.
Yeah. So you've mentioned the NRA rules for safe gun handling. Always keep your firearm pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to fire. And always keep the gun unloaded until you're ready to use it. Let's unpack those just a little bit, if that's okay. Or do you want to touch on the four universal rules first?
No, let's just talk about them generally. Yeah. And first of all, the one thing I like about the NRA rules, they use the word always. There's not an exception to any of these ever, ever, ever. So one of the things we have to do is always keep our gun pointed in a safe direction. Well, what's a safe direction? That's always one thing that you have to think about there. And it's very difficult to do sometimes, depending on the environment. And remember, like I said, at the range, it's easy. We all know where that's at. Our instructor tells us, or the range safety officer, there's signage, there's whatever. But a safe direction can sometimes be difficult to ascertain. And a safe direction is going to be a direction so that if you have a negligent discharge, it will cause the least amount of damage and no injury or death to a person. Least amount of damage to property. So that's what we're talking about when we always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. One thing I would mention, because I can't emphasize enough, this doesn't apply just to the typical range scenario. It may be in your house. Take your finger and just walk around your house while it's occupied and try to keep it pointed in a safe direction. For instance, we're upstairs right now. My wife, your mother, is down maybe in the office directly below us. So pointing down, although it's perfectly safe outside and in a range that might be okay in a range, it wouldn't be right here right now. Mm-hmm. Practice, get a blue gun. If you know what a blue gun is, they're usually blue, but they're just a piece of plastic, and carry it around your home and practice opening doors, moving around the house and keeping that gun pointed in a safe direction. Throw in the fact that you may have to have a flashlight. You may have to open doorknobs. There may be other residents of the home in different rooms. So that always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction can be much more difficult than you may think.
Yeah.
Think about it in the Walmart parking lot.
Right. But if you do it enough, if you, you know, think about it, visualize it, whether it's just your finger or a blue gun, that sort of concept of keeping your firearm pointed in a safe direction becomes ingrained, and it becomes easy for you to identify the safe direction based on the context.
Yep.
Okay. So the next one, always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot.
Yeah. And that one is, you might think that's pretty easy. Well, guess what? We teach basic firearms classes more than anything. And people, we tell people that in the classroom portion, we preach that. And I know people are thinking to themselves, well, how hard can that be to do that? Inevitably, almost everybody has difficulty with that when we get to the range, despite us repeating it time and time and time again for a few hours before we get on the range. And luckily, we're on a range where, guess what? They're pointing in a safe direction when they do violate that rule sometimes. But it's hard to keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. It really is.
And the basic notion is that when you're on the target, once you're ready to shoot, your finger goes to the trigger. When you're off the target, your finger immediately comes off the trigger. Okay. So that's the general rule of thumb. But the point is, your default position should be off the trigger. And there are so many people we see at the range and in gun stores who, when they pick up the firearm, their finger is touching the trigger or it's in the trigger guard. Okay. Which is not acceptable.
That's the first clue that you're dealing with a novice and somebody that's not going to be safe is when it's one reason I hate to go to gun shows, gun shops, or public ranges a lot of times is you see people pick up the firearm and the first thing they do is their finger goes inside the trigger guard.
Exactly.
And why is that important, you might ask? Well, obviously, if our finger is closer to the trigger, it's more likely that it's going to go off. But we have this thing. I mean, we're not doing these things simply to perform well on the range, okay, in front of the range safety officer. We want to do that and be completely safe. But the reason we teach these things is based on the notion that it is possible that we may have to use this tool to save somebody's life. Just like if we have a fire extinguisher, because we may have to save somebody's life and stop a fire. But if we have to save somebody's life, it's going to be a very high stress situation. And we have this thing called inner limb interaction or sympathetic squeeze. It's where we get excited. We do something with our non-shooting hand. And I'm not a neurologist, but if particularly if we're excited and we squeeze something or grab something, it may cause if we squeeze in one hand, it may cause the other hand to do the same thing. And if our finger's on the trigger, it may cause it to go off.
Yeah.
Okay. We may be in a scenario where it's dark and we trip on something and fall. If our finger is on the trigger, guess what? The gun may go off and we may hurt, kill, or injure someone. So that's why it's important. We may have just a startled response. You ever been somewhere where there's a loud noise? That may cause you to grab the trigger. So it's incredibly important that we have trigger discipline, and we always keep our finger off the trigger until we're ready to shoot.
Yep.
I'm reminded of a story that I think Masada, I'm not sure where he told the story, of an incident that he had with a friend, where they, I'll let you tell the story. You're a better.
I don't remember the names, but it's not essential to the story. But Masad Ayoub, who we've talked about on many occasions, talked about a friend who was, I believe, hog hunting.
I think it was John Strader.
From a helicopter with a revolver. I don't remember what the caliber was, but he was hunting from a helicopter with a revolver. The helicopter went down, it crashed, and he had his hand on the firearm, and he had his finger off the trigger, and when it crashed, his hand went and the firearm went through glass in the helicopter. And his finger, and they know this because of the way the scar was off the trigger the entire time through the crash, because there was a cut straight up his finger, his trigger finger, up his arm. So he maintained that trigger discipline through a helicopter crash, because guess what? He probably wasn't thinking about where his trigger finger was. It was just the default. He had that, he ingrained that position into his safe gun handling.
But that's the kind of discipline we want with respect to your trigger finger, where you're keeping the muzzle pointed, those sorts of things, all these safety rules.
As the NRA says, always. Yeah. I like that. Like you said, that they include always at the beginning of each rule.
Yeah. I think that's, I don't know, so one of our educational listeners will have to explain it, but that consistency in the use of that word, I think, is effective.
Yeah. And then finally, with the NRA rules, the third one is always keep your firearm unloaded until you are ready to use it. Now, this one causes some confusion for some folks because they're like, well, what if I'm carrying it? Or what if I keep it in my bedside stand? Well, if you have it in those situations, you're ready to use it. The firearm is there for your protection and the protection of your family. So, but if you're going to store your firearm for any period of time, you should unload it. So unload it until ready to use. Okay. Yeah. That's the third rule. Now let's talk about, go ahead.
Yeah. And then there's another kind of corollary rule. Maybe that's what you were getting to, is that always treat all guns as if they're loaded all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's I think is more important. And I don't mean to interrupt you, because that's the one thing I see. People will put their finger on the trigger. They'll keep not pointing in a safe direction. And then they'll say, after you note that, they'll say, oh, the gun wasn't loaded.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly.
And the point of that is I have no idea what the answer to this is, but do you have any idea how many people are killed with a quote unloaded gun, end quote, every year?
A lot. Yeah, we hear that all the time. People, as an excuse for handling their firearm in an unsafe manner, say, oh, it's unloaded. And then very frequently, people find out that, oh, it wasn't actually unloaded. And that happens whether they're just cavalierly handling their firearm or when they're cleaning their firearm. That happens a lot. So it's not something to take lightly. And that gets us to the next sort of set of rules or flavor of safe gun handling rules, which are these four universal rules. Two of them are exactly the same. Keep your firearm pointed in a safe direction always. Okay. And always keep your finger off the trigger until ready to shoot or to fire. Those two are identical, but there are two others that are a little bit different. One that you've already mentioned is treat all guns as if they are loaded. Okay. Which is just a reminder that even if you think the firearm is unloaded, you should treat it as if it were loaded. Okay. And then the other is always be sure of your target and what's beyond, which in my mind, and I want to know what you think about this, Mike, is basically an extension of the always keep the firearm pointed in a safe direction. Because part of a safe direction is knowing your target and what's beyond your target.
Yeah. I might be a little distinction there. Know your target, what's beyond. I think you have to know your target, what's beside it, what's in front of it. And once again, I don't think about this I do think about it in a range scenario. That's easy. That we know where downrange is at. There's a berm or there's whatever back there to stop rounds. But you may be in a situation where you have to defend yourself or defend your loved ones. Maybe in your house, you may need to shoot somebody. But if there's a backdrop of other people to the side or in the rear of that person, you may not be able to take a shot because of that, because of the distances or your abilities. So I think that's what that rule in my mind is about, at least partly in a real world scenario, mm-hmm. but it's also important in a training scenario too. Obviously we don't, bullets when they're discharged from a muzzle, they can go a mile or more depending on the firearm and the caliber and rifle versus pistol versus shotgun, all that sort of thing. So
yeah,
to me, that's what that rule is about, knowing that you have a safe backstop.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's recap here a little bit. And then I want to talk, if it's okay with you, Mike, a little bit about the Eddie Eagle program for those people who have children or who have children in their home. And if you have firearms and children in the same location, you need to be familiar with how to handle that situation. So first of all, just recap these rules for safe gun handling, the NRA rules, and either one of these rules is okay, but whichever one you choose, make sure you internalize it, make sure that you practice it, that you visualize that these become second nature. Okay. So the NRA rules, always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. And then the four gun safety rules, all guns are always loaded or treat them as if they are. Okay. Never let the muzzle cover anything which you're not willing to destroy, which is the safe direction. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target. And then always be sure of your target and what's beyond. Okay. Anything else you want to say about those, Mike, before we...
Not about those, but I wanted to touch on just a few other miscellaneous rules just real quickly before
sure.
we get to the Eddie Eagle thing, which is incredibly important.
Yeah.
A couple things we see with people that we train. Never rely upon a safety. Safeties are mechanical, guns are mechanical devices. Safeties are mechanical devices that can fail. So you shouldn't treat the gun any differently in terms of the rules we've talked about, whether the safety's on or off. Mm-hmm. Okay. Make sure you use the correct ammunition. We've had some people, and I'm not going to go into that's a whole about 40 minute section of one of our classes, but if you have any uncertainty whatsoever about the correct ammunition for your firearm, consult with somebody that knows what they're talking about. Read your owner's manual. Take a basic course. Get some training out there. If you have a malfunction in your gun, you can become, you can injure yourself. If you're not competent to take it apart, get that way. But just consult with somebody, your owner's manual, if you have a problem with your firearm. Make sure you don't have any barrel restrictions in a firearm. That can cause very serious injuries. And I think, make sure you don't mix alcohol and drugs. Let me see if there's anything else. Wear eye protection, hearing protection. We see a lot of people wear open-toed shoes. We don't allow that when our training courses are low. They wear low shirts or they don't wear hats. And the reason we want people to wear those is we don't want hot brass going down a shirt, between your eyes, why you ought to wear a belt cap when you're training, in your toes, that sort of thing. Let's see what else. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Except store the guns in a safe place, which leads us into the Eddie Eagle thing that you wanted to talk about.
Right. So the NRA has a program for children. Their website says pre-K through fourth grade, what to do if they come across a firearm. And let me see if I can share this. If you're watching this podcast by video, I'll share the screen
here. Yeah, because they've changed one or two of the words since I internalized it, I think.
So if you're watching here by video, you can see the NRA website here. It's eddieeagle.nra.org. And they've got a lot of different, they've got a newsletter, they've got all sorts of other resources on the website. But the rules are, and these are the rules that they say you should teach your child, and they are stop, don't touch, run away, tell a grown-up. Okay, and part of the point here is that, especially if you're in a household that has firearms, you're not going to be able to hide the firearms from your child forever. And you want to teach a healthy respect for the firearms. You don't want them to be afraid of it, but it's something that they shouldn't mess with without the supervision of an adult. So again, stop, don't touch, run away, tell a grown-up. Now, this is different than some people ask, well, when can I introduce my child to firearms? Well, that's going to be a personal choice. And I would point you, I think Julie Golub does does a great sort of analysis on this, when is a good time, how to know when your child is ready to handle and shoot firearms. That's a separate question, okay? But at least early on, the lesson should be stop, don't touch, run away, tell a grown-up. Okay. And that's where I'll leave it. They have, like I said, they have, if you're looking at the screen still, they have videos and other resources available on the website that I think are really useful for parents who don't know where to start.
Yeah. And that doesn't, I mean, we want to teach our kids that for the adult that doesn't properly store their firearm. And I mean, my advice to people and what I try to do is if the gun is not on me under my physical control, within an arm's length anyway, the gun ought to be locked up somewhere in a safe or a cable, however you want to lock it up. There are all kinds of different ways to do it, but it's either on me, under my direct control and supervision, or it's secured.
Yeah. All right, Michael, I think that's where we'll leave it with the rules for safe gun handling. And we'll sort of tease the next episode that we're going to talk about. But once again, I just want to reiterate, you know, a lot of people got firearms or gave firearms as gifts for Christmas. Whether or not you did, if you own a firearm, if you're around firearms, be responsible, okay? We want to be good ambassadors for not only individual liberty, right to keep and bear arms, but we want to remove that target off of our back. And of course, we never will. There will always be people who want to take away our rights, but we want to minimize that target as much as possible so that we can have and preserve our rights for future generations, all right?
Just a couple of things. Keep in mind, a lot of times people have negligent discharges when they're cleaning a gun or when they're holstering or unholstering a gun. So make sure you're incredibly competent with respect to those sorts of activities with a firearm. Once again, I'd suggest to you, get you a blue gun, a piece of plastic, and, you know, see how good you are with the following these rules with that. Don't start out with a loaded gun. That's for sure.
All right. So this is a sort of a news topic in of sorts and a history.
Well, sort
topic.
Of a safety thing. I can transition into.
It's good. Okay. Yeah. All right. Go for it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You were going to start. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
No.
But Gaston, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. That'll be a good thing we can work on. Whether it's Gaston or Gaston Glock, passed away. I think he was 94 years old last week, I think on the 27th. And if you don't know who Gaston Glock is, he was the inventor, developer, and manufacturer of the Glock pistol that is pretty much world renowned. And it's interesting. I'm currently reading a book that you gave me. I'm done essentially with it. I gave about 30 pages, but it's called Glock, The Rise of America's Gun by Paul M. Barrett. And I think he wrote this like in 2012 or something like that, 2013. But it's a good book. I enjoyed it. But one of the things, and I thought I knew quite a bit about Gaston Glock, and I knew a lot of it, but it sort of provided some more details and filled in some blanks and some things. But one of the things he talked about, I didn't know when he was developing his gun initially, and you got to remember, he was a novice, and we'll talk about this in the next thing. He would test fire the gun with his left hand because he was concerned about a malfunction with the gun, and it would somehow injure him, and he wouldn't be able to do his engineering and his writing because he was right-handed. So he did all his test work with the left hand in the event that it was injured. So he sort of a safety thing. In a way,
he didn't have a bunch of confidence in his design early on.
Well, I don't know if he had confidence. He was at least being sure about it. So I thought that was interesting. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah.
But anyway, that lets out what we're going to talk about the next episode is Gaston Glock, the Glock, which don't start casting stones at me because I know this can be, you know, like a Ford versus Chevy thing in a way. He may be up there. In terms of impact on the gun industry and the gun community, maybe approaching, you know, John Browning and Kalashnikov and some folks like that.
Samuel Colt.
Yeah. I'm not prepared to put him in those groups yet, but at least you can talk about it in terms of his influence on firearms.
Well, Glock has, you know, it's been around since the 80s, and it's had time to sort of prove itself as a valuable tool. But, you know, the same period of history hasn't passed since, you know, the likes of Samuel Colt and John Moses Browning. And they've obviously had a long lasting impact, so that makes it easy to say that they are certainly legends in the firearms world. I think Gaston Glock is clearly a legend in the firearms world, but whether or not his impact will have the same long term effect of Browning and Colt and some others, we've yet to see, but it certainly had a huge impact.
Yeah, so I guess we should ask that question maybe in 100 years or so.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, we're going to talk about Gaston Glock a little bit, the Glock pistol, some of the history there, and you know, he was certainly an interesting fellow. I find him fascinating in terms of, we don't know a lot about him. Interesting enough, what we know about him is because of depositions he gave here in this country. But
which we'll talk about.
We'll talk about next time. Starting to get started
next week. Yeah, you can tell he can't wait.
I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, thanks again for joining the show. I hope everybody got something out of it. Hope you internalize these rules for safe gun handling and pass them on to your children and your loved ones, so that you know, they can be responsible gun owners and exercise their individual liberties responsibly, like I said, so that we can preserve those liberties for generations to come. So, Mike, thanks again for joining the show. Everybody, I hope you learned a little something. If you did, don't forget to like and subscribe if you haven't already. It helps us spread the message of freedom. And until next time, remember, you are the Forge of Freedom.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forge of Freedom. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. For more information or to connect with Alex, you can go to forgeoffreedom.com or follow him on Twitter at Forge of Freedom. Until next time, remember, you are the Forge of Freedom.